From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com.
Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. This week, my guest is Dre Wallace, a.k.a. Super Dre. This Michigan-based minimal tech and house DJ has been bouncing around the country supporting Bass Nectar, as she will be doing this New Year's in Atlanta. Dre also has a single dropping December 1st, which we'll get a sneak preview of on this show, and her new EP is coming out in January. Let's get to the interview.
I understand you're a classically trained musician.
Yes, I am. I was a band geek.
There you go.
My mom's actually a classically trained pianist, so she taught my brother and I when we were younger. And then I was in band all the way through elementary, junior high, high school, college. I played the saxophone. It was like my primary instrument. And then I picked up the violin about junior high-ish. And you name it, I probably played it. I was in a band for a while. I played guitar. I played the drums in a band for a while. So I've pretty much done it all.
Yeah, absolutely. And you were playing mostly the pop at the time? Or, I mean, it, apparent in your own tracks and what you spin, you've got a wide background of influences. I wonder, what turned you on as a kid? What were you listening to?
Oh, man. When I was little, I actually used to listen to classical and jazz a lot. Like, probably mostly because I was playing it in school all the time. But I listened to, like, Janet Jackson used to be my favorite. So I used to like stuff like that, but even back then, I don't know, it was pretty much all over the place. Like I said, my mom's pretty well-versed in music in general, so I think we got a lot of that influence from there. My dad is completely tone-deaf, so clearly we didn't get anything from that side of the family.
Okay. With all those various genres and all this music swirling around you as a kid, do you remember your introduction to electronic music, either through the pop you were listening to or straight up, you know, techno or DJs or any of that? Was there a clear memory for you of when you were presented with electronic music?
I can't really say that there was a clear moment. I think my parents used to live in Detroit before we moved to the west side of Michigan. So, and I was born over here on the west side, but my brother was born over there, and we have a lot of family in the Detroit area. And everybody knows about Detroit and electronic music's birthplace of techno. So it's there all the time. I guess I probably just never really thought about it. It was just always around. So I can't really say there was a clear moment, but it just was sort of always there. I didn't really get into like what I would call like making it and everything until a little bit later. I was probably like in high school.
So you were playing all these instruments. What got you started DJing yourself?
DJing is actually funny because it's not something that I planned on doing at all. I had a couple of friends that did it, and I knew some people in New York that were pretty good, just like friends of the family, friends of cousins and whatnot. And I always thought it was really cool, and I'd gotten to a point where, like I said, I've played so many different instruments, and I wanted to try something new, and that was one of the few things that I hadn't actually tried yet. Mm-hmm. So I sort of started out on that, and I wish that I had someone actually teach me a lot of this stuff at the time. But you know how people, everyone's like, yeah, I'll show you how to do it. And no one ever does. So sure. I got this book. I can't think of who it's by now, but it's a pretty popular book. It's called How to DJ Right. So
there you go. That. It's all in the title.
Yeah. I got that book and DJ Shorty. She's got like a set of like instructional videos or whatever. So I got the book and I got those videos and I bought myself a pair of turntables, some techniques off of eBay, and I got a really, really bad mixer. And I sort of just figured it out from there.
That's funny. I mean, with everybody clamoring for the latest software and most technologically advanced gizmos, you know, what makes you stick with your decks? I mean, I think you still use them to this day.
Yeah, I mean, I like to use, like, I still use techniques. For me, I started out DJing on vinyl, and I just, like after a while you get tied to the feel of it. Like I like how it feels and I like the amount of control that you have over it. But I still use a digital DJing system, so I still use Traktor and everything, but I just use it with the time-coded vinyl. And since there's so many new things now, like being able to control with MIDI controllers and all that, I've sort of incorporated that side of things with my performances too. So a lot of times, like I'll have the two decks, but in Traktor you can actually control four different decks on the actual software at once. So I'll use two, you know, with the turntables, and then maybe the other two, like I'll use the MIDI controller to control. So it's sort of, I guess, meeting both places in the middle.
And that's all come about because you've got maybe a sponsorship deal with Native Instruments. How did that come to be?
That was actually a really weird story and completely by accident. this was maybe five and a half years ago. What happened was I posted a bunch of mixes and stuff that I had done online, and I met this guy. It was totally random. Sent me a message on MySpace and was like, oh, you know, he's like, I can probably help you out, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you hear that in the music business all the time.
Sure.
So I just kind of ignored it. I'm like, and I even said, I think I said something smart. I'm like, yeah, right, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And turned out like he actually happened to be the head of A&R at Native Instruments. And so that's sort of how I got the whole ball rolling, like, because he had just kind of been watching various things like that I was up to and everything. So, but it worked out really well. It's been nice, especially, I mean, you spin vinyl. I mean, especially like sometimes I have like 5-6 shows a week and you go through vinyl pretty quickly when you're using it like that. Mm-hmm. So it kind of helps at least like I can get some of those things, you know, instead of having to pay for all that stuff.
Soul clap from Super Dre right here on the UNS podcast.
You're based in Grand Rapids, Michigan. You grew up in Detroit. Tell me what the scenes are like in Detroit, in Grand Rapids, and in Michigan as a whole.
Well, where I grew up is not nearly as cool as Detroit or as big. My parents were married and stuff, and they lived in Detroit. So my brother was born there. He's older than me. I was born over on the west side of the state. So I grew up in South Haven. Detroit's sort of always been like second home because we were there every weekend because we have so much family there and so many friends and stuff. But scene-wise, I guess the difference between Grand Rapids and Detroit is a pretty big difference. The Detroit scene has always been probably one of my favorites, hands down, out of everywhere that I've been. And I think it's because the parties and all the shows that are there are so, everything's really basic. Like there's no, you know, no fluffy stuff, and it's not like, it's not pretentious and it's not shiny. It like, I mean, it may just be a random party in a warehouse that might be totally packed out and it's grimy. And nobody's there to try to look good or try to talk to you. Like, people are strictly there for the music. They just want to dance. And I think I've always appreciated that about it just because it's so raw and it's so real, I guess, like, versus, like, a lot of the other places that I've been. Not that it's bad, but I've always really appreciated Detroit for that reason. In Grand Rapids is kind of interesting. I've lived here for the last, I think now it's about 6 years. And the scene it's completely blown up here. It's totally different. If someone had asked me when I first moved here if I thought that what's going on now would be going on, I would have said, yeah, right. Like, there's no way. It's a decent-sized city, second largest city in Michigan, but very different than Detroit. It's a lot more conservative. So just some of the things, I guess, that I've seen around here recently, like, has been pretty amazing just in terms of where the scene has gone, the support that we've gotten, even from the city for various events, things that I just never really thought probably would have taken place. It used to have a lot going on in the 90s, which is sort of like most places, I think. And then with everything, you know, being cracked down with the so-called raves and all that, like in the 90s, a lot of things stalled in probably most cities a little bit. And then things started to pick back up here, I would say probably like early 2000s. And it's kind of nice here just because things here are so new with the scene. We have a lot of the older guys who used to do a lot here who still come out to a lot of shows. And then now there's a whole new surge of, you know, like young people who are still like in junior high and high school, whatever, that are just now sort of taking hold on the scene. So it's kind of interesting, I guess, because it's sort of, I can't say it's really in the birth stage, but it was there and then it kind of died and now it's back.
And I imagine as part of that scene is the big radio station there. Tell me how you got involved with radio.
Well, radio, actually, I've been on, it's 104.5 WSNX. Every Sunday night they have it used to be 3 hours. Now it's actually a 4 hour show. It's called After Club 104.5, and it's totally electronic music, and it's on what makes it the most interesting is that it's on the largest top 40 radio station in the area. So they have a really wide reach, I mean, obviously with young people, but just overall in general, just because it tends to be the most popular station that's around here. Mm-hmm. And they started doing this, I think, about 3 years ago. And I joined them just last year, actually. Last year when I opened for the Bass Nectar show, they approached me after that and asked me if I was interested. And at first, I was a little bit hesitant on it just because I don't really listen to the radio a lot, so I wasn't really sure what they were playing on there. Mm-hmm. So I had to kind of take a listen and see what they were doing and where they wanted to go with it, and decided to go with it. And it's turned out really well. I used to have the last hour, the one from midnight to 1 a.m, and now they've actually added another hour where they have various guest DJs sort of from all over, which is really nice. It's something that it gives a lot of the DJs around here a chance to participate in the radio too. So it's turned out really, really well.
Good Old Love from Super Dre featuring Willie Hutch.
Let me love you.
Your style allows you to be sort of a chameleon, you know, at home in the hip-hop world, electronic dance music, even the indie scene. Where do you feel you fit in best? Where do you feel most comfortable?
Where I fit in best is obviously electronic music. That's pretty much what my focus is. In terms of production and performance, that's where my focus is. But I still do a fair amount of production for a hip hop artist just because I really like it. It's just like my main focus for what I want to do for me is definitely electronic music. Mostly focused on techno and minimal, like tech house kind of style. But I also do some like two-step, like dubstep stuff too. I like to really mix the two together. I think just because I love so many different kinds of music, it was always a little bit hard for me to truly like settle down and marry one genre.
Sure.
But if I had to say, if there was any one place like where my heart is, it's probably techno.
What makes the minimal side of electronic music more appealing to you than some of the over-the-top, big, brash sounds of your contemporaries and some of the big names with whom you've shared the stage?
Oh, I don't know. I guess, like, I think it just sounds so chill and kind of like funky to me. Like, I still like the big sound, but I like it to be a little bit more, I like it to be a little bit more stripped down. Like, I like to really be able to hear like the bass and all that stuff just really clearly. So I tend to, at least what I've noticed in my music that I've actually made versus sometimes some of the stuff, you know, that I may use if it's someone else's, just tends to be that I really like funky sounding sort of bass lines and sometimes some more like hip hop style bass lines, but I like them to be a little bit more stripped down so you can really hear everything. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably why.
Okay. And speaking of over the top, it was recently announced that you'll be opening for Bass Nectar down in Atlanta the night before New Year's Eve and then playing the late night with Anasia after Nectar New Year's Eve. Do you feel pressure when you're opening for a huge act like Bass Nectar? Obviously, you've been on a few bills with him and then sharing the stage with a major force like Anasia. Do you take it as a challenge? Do you like the sort of being under the spotlight?
You know, it's funny. It's actually the big shows don't make me nearly as nervous as the smaller ones. Like, I was actually just talking to somebody about this the other day, because they're like, you know, does it bother you to be in front of like thousands of people? And where I would normally think that would, but I think it's a little different. Like when it's a big show like that, people are so much further away from you and you're a little bit more removed from everything. So it really doesn't bother me all that much. Obviously, I feel the pressure of, you know, I don't want to come out there and bomb anything. You know?
Sure, sure.
Anything like that. But I think it's just, I guess, like, I really like the challenge and I do like being under pressure a little bit. It always sort of forces me to make sure I'm on top of my game. And I always feel like the minute, you know, where you get too comfortable is the minute where you should probably not be doing this anymore.
Sure.
So I feel like I always like to feel a little bit of the butterflies, but yeah, it tends to be actually the smaller shows that make me a little bit more nervous. And I think it's just because everyone is right there and they're so close.
With a bass, Nectar, with an Anacia, they have such signature sounds. Do you find yourself adapting or maybe catering to their audience? Or is it still, you've got that independent streak in you where it's like, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to play my music. I don't care about expectations, any of that.
I think it's a little bit of both. I do have, obviously, I'm going to mostly play my own stuff, but usually what I do is, if I know who I'm opening for, I'll prepare something that makes sense for that. Like, I'd feel very strongly about making sure that whoever is opening sort of, can't think of a better way to say it other than, like, sort of knows your place. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, you know, people aren't always there, you know, to see the opening act. Like, so if people show up to see Bass Nectar, I'm not going to, you know, come completely left field on something wild just because that's what I want to do. Like, at a certain point, you know, you sort of have a responsibility. You need to be yourself, absolutely, because I definitely don't believe in selling out at all. But I do think that you sort of owe it to, you know, if nothing else, but the tour manager who was organized this stuff to make sure that, you know, the show has some kind of logical flow, you know, and you shouldn't come out like gangbusters, like totally crazy and wild, you know, before the main headlining act goes on. That's like one of my pet peeves that I've seen so many people do that really bothers me. But yeah, so I try to do a little bit of both. Obviously, I'm going to be me regardless, but I do think that there's a certain point where you should adapt a little bit, you know, according to sort of what you think people will see. So people will get a taste of you and also make it so that it's a decent segue into the next artist that's coming after you. Get them up.
The new single from Super Dre, Get 'Em Up, featuring Flying Without Wings.
You've got a big single dropping in December, and then we can expect another release from you in January?
Yes, I have a single that is dropping in December. I'm actually really excited about it. I went back and forth as to which one I was going to use for the single, but I've narrowed it down, and now I know exactly which one it's going to be. It's actually featuring some friends of mine. They're in an indie hip-hop group. Like, it's kind of like hip-hop, like electropop sort of, called Flying Without Wings. They're featured on the track, and it sounds great, and I really love it. So I'm really excited about that one dropping in December. And then the entire EP will drop in January.
That's perfect. And dare I even ask you to try and pigeonhole the sound you've been working with most recently? Is it like the rest of your tracks and mixes, just a big hodgepodge?
I would say it's, oh man, that's a good question.
It's not even fair for me to ask. I apologize. I
mean, yeah, you'll hear a little bit of everything. Like, there's even like one track in particular that'll be on the EP. It's called Ghetto Circus. And it's sort of a mix. Like, it kind of starts out minimal and then it kind of turns tech house and then it kind of turns dubstep and then it kind of goes back. So it's, yeah, you just have to listen to it. That's all I can say.
We'll be looking forward to that. Dre Wallace, thanks so much for being on the Yuns podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's Uns podcast. Thanks goes to Aaron Dvorak with the Madero Group and, of course, my guest, Dre Wallace. You're listening to Ghetto Circus, a cut from Super Dre's new EP, set to drop in January. Her single, Get 'Em Up, will be coming out December 1st. Next week on the Uns podcast, multi-instrumentalist, DJ, and producer Derek Van Scoten will be my guest. He shared the stage with the Motet, String Cheese Incident, and other jam acts, but is now squarely in the electronic world, coming off big East Coast dates with Iodo and Big Gigantic. Remember to visit theunz.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review. Tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, or you'd like to be a guest on the Unz podcast, contact me at anand@theunz.com. That's ANAND @theunz.com. Catch you next week.